call to order. Opening statement pursuant to New Jersey Administrative Code Title 10, Chapter 4, Subchapter 10. Notice of this meeting has been provided by publication in the Asbury Park Press and the Coast Star and posted in the Borough Hall of Manasquan and in the schools within the time limits prescribed by law. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The first order of business tonight will be the swearing in of new board members, newly elected board members, as well as appointed by our sending districts. So that would be Ms. Passone, Mr. Burns, Ms. Pollitt from Manasquan, Matt Johnson, who will be representing Avon, and Ted Vitale representing Brielle. If you could all stand. You'll repeat after me, but we've also left you this. If you want to follow along, it is a little wordy, and you may get lost if you don't. If you could please raise your right hand. I state your name. Do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
Do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the
State of New Jersey.
And that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same and to the governments established in the United States and this state.
And that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same and to the governments established in the United States and this state.
Under the authority of the people, so help me God. I state your name. Do solemnly swear that I possess the qualifications prescribed by law for the office of member of a Board of Education.
Do solemnly swear that I possess the qualifications prescribed by law for the office of member of a Board of Education.
Am not disqualified as a voter pursuant to RS-19-4-1. Am not disqualified due to a conviction of a crime or offense listed in NJSA-18A-12-1.
I am not disqualified as a voter pursuant to RS-19-4-1. Not disqualified due to conviction of crime or offense listed in NJSA-18A-12-1.
And that I will faithfully, impartially, and justly perform all the duties of that office according to the best of my ability, so help me God.
And that I will faithfully, impartially, and justly perform all of the duties of that office according to the best of my ability, so help me God.
Thank you. Congratulations. For those of you just sworn in, could you please just sign that form and send it over to Sandy at the end of the meeting? Sandy, can we have a roll call, please?
Yes. Mr. Boldeman?
Here.
Thank you, Bruce.
Mrs. Passone?
Here.
Mr. Burns?
Here.
Mr. Patanik?
Here.
Mr. Hopper? Mr. Johnson?
Here.
Mr. Lucretto?
Here.
Mr. Pellegrino? Mrs. Pollitt?
Here.
Mr. Serino? Mr. Vitale?
Here.
Fred's here.
Mr. Vitale?
Here.
We have four.
Thank you. A review of the results of the election on November 2nd, 2021. Donna Passone was elected to the Board of Ed for a three-year full term with 2,081 votes. Marty Burns was elected to a three-year full term with 2,001 votes. And Ms. Alexis Pollock was elected to a three-year full term with 1,941 votes. There were also 62 write-in votes. On the first page of the agenda, there you also see everyone's term of office updated to reflect those election results.
Congratulations, guys.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I'd now like to open the floor to nominations for the president of the Manasquan Board of Education for the year 2022.
I'd like to nominate Alexis Pollock.
Eugene Catani nominates Alexis Pollock. Are there any other nominations? Seeing none, we'll have a roll call vote on Alexis Pollock's nomination for president of the Board of Ed.
Mr. Boldeman?
Yes.
Mrs. Passone?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Johnson?
Yes.
Mr. Lucretto?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollock?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Right.
Yes.
Mr. Vitale?
Yes.
Yes.
Carried.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Congratulations, Alexis. Congratulations. If you want to come up here, I'll relinquish the gavel to you. It's all the same login. Just
open the floor for nominations for Vice President of the Madison Board of Education. And I'd like to nominate Fred Serino. Any other nominations? Seeing none.
Mr. Boulderman?
Yes.
Mrs. Bassone?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Buchanan?
Yes.
Mr. Johnson?
Yes.
Mr. Lucretta?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollak?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Mrs. Serino?
Mr. Vitale?
Yes.
Yes.
Carrie?
Congratulations.
Thank you, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
So the mission statement of the Manasquan School District empowers all students by providing a safe, healthy, and inclusive environment where continual growth, perseverance, and rigorous academic standards are balanced with extensive extracurricular opportunities and rich tradition through partnership with the community. Statement to the public. Oftentimes, it may appear to members of our audience that the Board of Education takes action with very little comment, and in many cases by unanimous vote. Before a matter is placed on the agenda at a public meeting, the administration has thoroughly reviewed the matter with the superintendent of schools. If the superintendent of schools is satisfied that the matter is ready to be presented to the Board of Education, it is then placed on the agenda at the next combined committee of the whole and regular board meeting. The members of the board work with the administration and the superintendent of schools to assure that they fully understand the matter. After discussion during the committee of the whole portion of the meeting, the matter is focused on during the regular public board meeting agenda and presented to the Board of Education for a vote. Public comment on agenda items. Time may be allotted for public comment at this meeting. Each speaker may be allotted a limited time when recognized by the presiding officer. In the event it appears the public comment portion of the meeting may exceed 45 minutes, the presiding officer may limit each statement made by the participant to 3 to 5 minutes duration. Individuals wishing to address the board shall be recognized by the presiding officer and shall give their names, addresses, and the group, if any, that they represent. Although the board encourages public participation, it reserves the right through its presiding officer to terminate remarks to and or by any individual not keeping with the conduct of a proper and efficient meeting. During the public participation portions of this meeting, the board will not respond to questions from the public involving employment, appointment, termination of employment, negotiations, terms and conditions of employment, evaluation of the performance of, promotion, or disciplining of any specific or prospective or current employee. This public forum is limited to comment on items included in this agenda only. Would anyone like to be heard in the public forum? Seeing no one, I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Cajun.
Sure, thank you very much. There are several things that we'd like to talk about before we move on with the agenda. One of the things is, as you can see, we do have the multifaceted facility going up, and we have some pictures that we want to show you about that. They've made a lot of headway in the last few days, even with the weather being as it is, and we are on to be done in April. This should not be problematic, although we did receive an email about colors today, so we're going to have to talk about color choices, because the blue that we chose for the front of the building they don't make anymore. So we're going to have to choose another color, but we'll get those colors out to the president, vice president, and let you know exactly what we have if you want to reach out to the board. So we'll see those. With that, the town did ask us to meet next week, and I'd like, if possible, if we could meet with the ad hoc or facilities committee, but they're sending a few of the councilmen as well as their business administrator. So if you or the facilities committee could be there to really help us, so get one together, it'd be great.
Yeah, so that meeting will be at 2:30 on Thursday, January 13th. Is there anyone, Alexis, if you're okay with it, if we open the floor to volunteers to attend that meeting, anyone
absolutely
interested in attending?
Does anybody want to volunteer?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was the president, vice president. So
Thursday on January 13th at 2:30, we'll be holding an ad hoc facilities committee meeting. The topic of which is to meet with the town and discuss usage of the field house once it's completed.
Yeah, I think their focus will be taking a look at our memorandum of agreement, our contract, which stipulates the amount of hours that they have to utilize the facility, and talk about the programs that they're going to want to put forward to use that, which I'm very open to, because that's why we built it for the community. But I would really appreciate if we have some board representation at that meeting, since there will be some councilmen, as well as their business administrator there.
I should be able to, I'll let you know.
Fred, Joe, good.
Yeah, I'd like to be there.
And Bruce.
So when we say allotted a number of hours, that's after our utilization.
Actually.
I know we had a discussion on this, but I just want to reinforce that.
The way we structured the field house, it's in, I look at it in three areas. You have the weight training facility, you have the field, and you have the wrestling room.
Got it.
So it's very practical for them to have Pilates, I'm just throwing it out there, I don't know if they're going to do that, in the wrestling room from 6 in the morning till 7 in the morning. And then maybe they're going to have a weight training in the weight room from 8 to 9, as our physical education children use the field.
Yep.
I mean, so it doesn't mean just because there's two different groups wanting to utilize the facility, they can't both utilize it at the same time. But there's a total of 6 hours during the day.
During school day.
During the school day, that in the contract, they've been afforded the opportunity to utilize the facility. And 9 hours during the course of the day when we don't have school. And the facility will be open from 6 o'clock in the morning to 10 o'clock at night. So again, it will be up to their responsibility to man it and watch it. I would like to be our responsibility, and we'll discuss this at the meeting, to schedule it. And the person we want working with us to schedule from our facilities department will be at that meeting. So I think if we control the scheduling, it's going to make it more fluid for us.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, my only concern there would be is that how far out things are scheduled, and that our coaches are able to utilize the space accordingly, and sometimes have to make last minute adjustments, maybe based on the weather and different things, to be able to, you know, it sounds like there could be some issues with last minute practices or mm-hmm. changing something from outside to inside potentially. And I understand what you're saying, Dr. Cajun. You know, there's multiple facilities within the facility.
And we even have batting cages, I didn't even mention. We have three of those that can be dropped down and used. So.
Yeah, I would just have a concern with how far out we are allowing it to be booked.
Mm-hmm. And I
so
think
that our students are first.
Yeah, so I think we should craft that out at the meeting. I think we're all on the same page. This is all for the students and the community of management.
Yes, I'm not so, taking that away. I just wanted to throw that out there.
Just to chime in. So kind of the way we currently do it is, and it'll work the same, it'll be under the same system, the Facilitron system, is our coaches and athletic department have pretty much unfettered access for the next 2-3 years, however long they want.
Okay.
And then we have a rolling sign up 3 to 6 months that opens up to the public and or recreation in advance. So how we do it now, and I assume how it might work, although we can discuss it at the meeting, is PK will block out during high practice times all these facilities.
Okay.
So it would be understood that if it rains, it's going to be available for the football team. And then we do something similar with the gym. So the gym's blocked out during all athletic times in the fall, even though there might not be a practice happening in the gym, with the understanding we may need to move the football team or the soccer team inside to do some running and drills in there. So we kind of blanket block things for times we know might be.
So that's similar, Pete, to when you had helped me with the baseball field, that system that we utilize.
Yep.
Okay.
And there's flexibility even within that, and we've worked with the town regularly to do things where we'll have a standing block on something, but they'll call up, hey, Pete, I need, you know, is it possible we get in for the free throw competition? I see it's blocked down. We can look and say, yeah, actually,
awesome.
We're not going to use it then.
Thank you.
Yep. And also, there's other things I'd like to see the recreation department do with the facility, like having quarterback camps, so special camps for children running it through the rec. And if they don't want to do it, they will run it through Manasquan. But I want to have those things now available for the students. And the other thing that I'd like to see, because Pete and I have talked about this, about seeing about getting a portable basketball court to put out in the facility in case they needed to have practice, because the wrestling team now, and the wrestling team is exploding, which is a good thing, needed to use the gym. But the more I think about it, it's something I'm just letting the facilities people who are going to be at the meeting know I want to discuss, is the utilization of St. Dennis. I mean, they do allow us to use St. Dennis right now periodically, but I think that we can facilitate more of the usage with St. Dennis through the Recreation Department. This is something I'd like to discuss with them as we're now starting to share services.
Great.
Two little small items. Number 33 on the agenda before we vote on it requires volunteers to be representatives to the New Jersey School Boards Association from our district. We'll need a delegate and alternate delegate for that. So if anyone would like to volunteer, we can fill you in before that's voted on. Marty?
Yep.
As the delegate?
Okay, Mark?
Sure.
That's good. Thank you.
And the alternate?
I'll be the alternate.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you.
So the minutes will show Marty as the delegate and Gina as the alternate delegate. One more item from me is just you have all received a receipt of an acknowledgement of the ethics to be on the school board. If you could also just sign that and leave that with Sandy before you leave, that would be helpful. And just to circle back so I'm clear, Alexis, I have Fred, Joe, and Bruce on the ad hoc facilities. Was there anyone else
who
was going to be included in that?
I'll go as well.
Okay.
On what, Pete?
On that ad hoc facilities committee meeting on the 13th.
I'll try. I have to let Alexis know. I got to see if I can get out of work.
Okay, so I'll send the invite out to Fred, Joe, Bruce, Alexis, and Donna. If you can make it, great.
One of the things I think I'd like to talk about quickly, if you don't mind, is our test to stay and the change that we made in our policy. So Jen Fletcher is the person who we're contracted with to do the test to stay. She's a licensed practical nurse. And she made a video, and we're going to be sending out the information to the community about this. Our intent was to start it on the 10th. There's a problem with getting the test, and I'm going to turn this over to Pete because he's been diligently working on trying to procure the test for us. I know we have some 600 that we're trying to get so that we can do this. So just want to talk about that, Pete.
Yeah, so like Dr. Kajian mentioned, we're hoping to start a test to stay program that would allow for any student who is in quarantine due to being a close contact, so not positive with COVID, but a close contact of someone with COVID. They could come prior to school, take an antigen test, and then be allowed in school. That requires, obviously, a significant amount of antigen tests, which, if you've been watching the news, are not readily available right now. We do have about 100 on hand from Rover Labs, who is the state contractor for the unvaccinated teacher testing program. So they've sent us, we have about 100 from them. They've committed to another shipment in the coming week or so. How many are in that shipment and what the coming week or so means is still unclear. We'll see when we get it. Also through Jen, who is going to be the nurse practitioner who's actually administering the tests, we were under contract to receive 700 tests from her.
That's cheap.
They're the same thing there. She's reached out to her vendor. She expects a shipment between the 7th and 10th of January. She's unclear if that's going to be the full 700 or it's going to be partial shipment. So right now we're shooting to start that program on the 17th of January, but it's going to, part of that startup is going to require us to, you know, really take inventory of how many tests we have, how many students we have on average in this that would be eligible for this program. And, you know, our optimistic goal is to start on the 17th and start to limit the amount of kids who are missing school for that reason. Any questions about that program?
Yeah, based on the, you know, numbers generally now every day of the amount of students who are close contacts, how many tests do you think you need to really start the program?
So we had on a most recent snapshot, we had about 30 students who would qualify, but that, you know, it moves quite a bit. If a class, let's say, gets put on that program, it could increase by another 15 to 30, at which point they would have to, you know, that's another 15, 30 every day, so 60 to 70 every day for 5 days, and, you know, you're looking at 350 tests for a week on the high. So, you know, it's hard to say. I think we are, from what I understand, you know, watching the news, I'm not a scientist, but we're probably in some of the highest moments right now. The numbers should, even if they go up a little more, should eventually start to come down. So we're, you know, we just want to make sure we have enough to accommodate this highest peak when it's here before we start the program.
And I do realize that these tests are hard to get out in the, you know, outside. And I really wanted to make it available for any parent who wanted to get in the Test to Stay program to have the children in school, because that's what we're here for. And to have them in school safely as long as they were negative. But if we can't get the test, instead of starting on the 10th, we're looking at starting on the 17th. If that's okay with you. I mean, I don't want to start a program we're going to have to suspend it because we don't have the materials we need. And we really wanted to get it going as soon as possible after tonight's meeting when you approved it. But in talking to our providers, as Pete said, we just can't really confidently say we're going to be receiving a test till after the 15th of January. So
have we decided that children are spreading it to other children within our school?
Has there been any cases where children have spread it to other children in our school? The only, and I want Jesse and Pete to involve in this, the only time I can remember was once when a parent I talked to on the phone was adamant about that. And I spoke to the nurse and they did have a gathering of children at a social event that could have been happened there. So it was sort of nebulous. So that was the only time. I do have a situation where I believe that a class, the child in the class did propose to give it to a teacher. One situation like that.
So it's not rampant though, that we're spreading it.
But our numbers aren't rampant right now. I mean, and that's why we're trying to give you the snapshots on a daily basis. You'll get them in a Friday packet. And I mean, Pete, you want to speak? You got any numbers you can speak to?
Yeah, ultimately it's almost impossible to say if you got it in school, right? Unless you just went to school and went home, how would you know? But what we have been seeing is an overwhelming majority of the students who are quarantined, who are put out for being close contacts, don't ultimately test positive in that time that they're quarantined. You know, with exceptions, obviously, but whether or not those exceptions came from school and that close contact they made or somewhere else is hard to tell. But that's kind of the driving force, and that's not just here. I mean, that's everywhere, and that's the driving force behind why Test to Stay is starting to be implemented statewide and why the CDC just endorsed it last 2 weeks ago now.
And we do set up virtual learning for those children, but I'm a firm believer that they're better off here if their parents want to get in the program. They don't have to. They can take the 10 days of quarantine and take the child and keep them home, and then we'll just do the virtual learning aspect of it. But
so they'll be set up with every teacher to have virtual learning on either side of the street? How would that work?
If they're in the Test to Stay program?
If they're not in
the quarantine.
Yeah, that'll go as it has been going now.
As it has been going, and I can't speak to every teacher in high school, but I know several teachers that just spoke to a humanities teacher just yesterday about that. And again, I don't know how well it's going. That's why I think...
Well, I think we should look into
they're that. Better off here, and that's why I think the Test to Stay program is going to afford parents the opportunity to, instead of quarantining their child, have them tested on a daily basis for the quarantine period and come to school. So, I did speak after the last time we talked about this to all three of my principals who were supposed to tighten that up.
Sure. No, and I appreciate that. And let me first say, I appreciate that we're trying to keep children in school. You know, I personally have issues with this. To take an unvaccinated student, because let's be clear, we're differentiating based on status, right? With this Test to Stay program. This is not for every student that is in close contact.
No, this would be same as our current quarantine guidelines, which would exclude fully vaccinated students would not be quarantined. Yeah.
But we have cases of unvaccinated students who are coming into our school positive, mm-hmm. right? So
you mean
they can't spread it?
Vaccinated students.
Yes. I mean, I'm really concerned with what science we're following. Major concerns with this. You know, to have a nurse coming in testing a child 5 days in a row who has no symptoms, I don't like it, and I just have to say it. I recognize that we're voting on this. I mean, you can tell how I'm going to vote, but I think we are now differentiating based on a status, which makes no sense. So.
But isn't that in line with the differentiation that's already happening?
Well, by who? CDC, New Jersey Department of Health, Monmouth County, you know, Health Department.
Because right now, if you're vaccinated and you have close contact and you have no symptoms, you're not quarantined, correct?
Correct.
So we're differentiating now already. So is the differentiation...
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've had a problem with it, Marty.
No, I know. I'm just saying it's in line kind of with what we've already been doing.
And I just want to bring it up
because
are we okay with that?
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's different. I'm saying, you know, you're taking healthy kids, you're putting them at home. You know, I appreciate Pete's giving an example. If we had a classroom of children, how does that happen if they're wearing masks and we're separating? Aside from lunch, what else would be a close contact?
That's
a question. Aside from lunchtime, which it sounds like now, you have 15 minutes to eat and you're out. So really, when are you going to have a close contact?
Well, I just had a whole class full of pre-K who had close contacts. And if the teacher says it's a close contact, I don't question that. The teacher says it's not a close contact.
They weren't wearing their masks?
I guess, yes, they weren't wearing their masks at the time the teacher was, but she was with them. In specials, she was with them in the classroom, and because of that scenario, they're all going on virtual learning. Now, when I have pre-K children, I want them here. I don't want them virtually taught. However, that was the best thing we could do, and I was hoping to get them back Monday through the Test to Stay program, which we really can't put into effect because I don't have the test for it. So, it happens. We do have close contact still. Even with the masks.
But if we're following the rules, how, Dr. Gajan? I don't understand that. I think it's a legitimate question. I know.
Well, I think it's too. I'm thinking to try to give you an example.
Well, that's because they're...
I think it's not just close contact at schools. It's calling the parents and saying, who were they in close contact in outside of school, too? That's a big part of it as well.
So they're not wearing masks. Many people that probably want masks in school should probably have their kids masked when they are outside of school.
Or, you know, that's...
it's a personal decision, right?
It's a decision part of the,
that should be given to the parents and the students.
But that's part of the close contact protocol. Find out where they were outside of school.
So that one example, Dr. Cajun, is very different than the one you just gave me, Gene.
Right. There's a lot of different ones.
A whole classroom is home.
I wasn't going to question the teacher or the aide, and both.
Why not?
Because I believe they're telling me what they feel is correct. When they said, look at me, and they said, we have close contacts, and here they are, and I say to them, why do you consider them close contacts? And they enumerate to me the reasons why. We're here to keep students in school and safe and secure. So if we do have the possibility of a close contact, they then go on a close contact list to keep the rest of the population safe and secure as well.
So Dr. Cajun, if I'm understanding this correctly, the contact tracing, like Gene said, the call, and have they been, the most of these kids are getting this outside of school, if I'm understanding correctly.
Correct. This, the example I gave, Donna, was about a pre-K class who I believe the teacher and the aide both had COVID. No? Jesse? Was it just the aide?
I think there were staff members involved.
Okay, I can't say that. All right, fine. There were staff members involved. All right.
I mean, Joe, I generally agree with you. It is, because the fact that vaccinated and unvaccinated people can spread it, to me, it doesn't. I agree with you. There's an incongruity there that doesn't make sense, right? But at the same time, this, I mean, we we go with what the state guidance gives us, which is based upon CDC guidance, presumably, correct?
Yes.
So I think in the absence of that guidance, I'm not sure what the alternative is, though.
So the CDC guidance right now is 5 days, correct?
I believe so.
But Dr. Cajun, you're saying 10 days?
10 days.
10 days, a 5 days quarantine.
So,
5 days quarantine.
Okay.
10 days total. You have to wear a mask for the day 6 to 10.
Well, they're wearing masks anyway, but...
I'm talking about...
So wait, I'm sorry, and I'm not being... I don't understand the 5 day, 10 day differentiation that you're talking about.
I don't think the 10 days is correct.
It is still supposed to be 10 days, 5 days quarantine, days 6 through 10 require a mask, because it doesn't just apply to schools. It applies for the workforce. It applies for...
Sure, so it's only 5 days then of actual quarantine?
That's correct.
So is that what we're doing?
Not the students, we're doing 10 days.
That's for personnel.
If we're following CDC... Why? But then who's following who? There is no consistency. And I think that's something that needs to be recognized. And they are taking the power out of our hands to make decisions locally. There is no consistency here. So if we're following CDC, we're not. We need to say we're following Monmouth County Health Department.
Well, you're actually following the road forward and the plan that you submitted and that had to be approved to reopen school in September. Mm-hmm. You had to submit a plan. And that plan is submitted and approved, otherwise you wouldn't be open for school. Now, obviously the problem, and you're absolutely right, the problem is that this has become an ever-evolving situation, that even back in August when these plans were submitted, things have changed dramatically, as Marty was just referring to, because now the idea that vaccinated people are being treated differently than unvaccinated people really loses all of its support as to what has happened over the last month or so, 2 months. And therefore, but as is with any governmental institution, they're slow to make any change with regard to that. So right now we are mandated to follow the plan that we submitted to the state, the Department of Education, with regard to the plans that we were submitting. And are they antiquated now compared to what they were in August? Without question, because everything's changed since August. But they haven't, the state and the Department of Ed haven't given us the leeway to change it at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was gonna be my question, whether or not there's ability to amend it.
Everyone's hopeful that that would be the case, because it should be amended, because again, today is nothing like it was in August.
Well, what I would like to see is that we avoid close contact by taking the protocols we did prior. So if there should not be partnering up in class, there should not be partnering up. It sounds like in the lunchroom, they're separated. So I'm just gonna be honest, I'm not sending my son in to get tested by a nurse 5 days in a row to have some, it's not gonna happen. So, and that's my decision, I get it. But I would like to just ask that we avoid close contact. If teachers are the ones who are deciding what a close contact is, there should not be any. I think we can really simplify all this by avoiding close contacts.
But don't kids slip up, Joe? I mean, especially the little...
Slip up is fine.
The little
but
ones.
But a whole class on it?
But a whole class of... Think of a whole class of four-year-olds. Think, Joe, where they are 4 years old.
Got it.
You know, they're probably not getting this whole virus thing, and you know.
Listen, I totally respect what you're saying and appreciate that. I cannot imagine what it would be to not be able to teach and constantly have to tell someone to pick their mask up,
right,
a young kid.
And keep it on and don't sneeze in it. And go wash your hands and use the hand sanitizer and don't sit next to John. And
let's say then the older kids, how do we avoid this?
How do we avoid what?
Close contacts.
You want to have the best educational atmosphere that you can. Last year we did a lot of things that was just not natural for the students. And it took away a lot of learning opportunities in the specials as well as physical education. We started our conversation tonight, you asking me, how many situations do we have where actual COVID is transferred from student to student, mm-hmm, or student to teacher? and we said it was minimal. Yet we have guidelines that we have to follow. My goal this year was to give the children, all the students, most normal experience possible I could by taking away all those precautions, most of the precautions that we had last year when we wanted to be here every day. And I said, if we want to be here every day, we have to do X. So we did that. Now we put things back to normal. However, when we came back from the vacation, we changed things in the elementary school. So we now have lunch has been spread out with the idea that some students would come back, possibly, in a COVID environment, coming outside, seeing families, whatever the case may be. I didn't want to see that happen here, and it hasn't happened here. We're still in good shape. Now, you're focusing on a pre-K program. Those children, the three-year-olds, where this occurred, they have to nap. It's hard for them to keep their masks on. I didn't say that the whole class has COVID or transferred to each other. What I said was they were close contact because of the interactions that they had with the staff in the room, which they have to have. So again, to be cautious with those children, they went on the close contact list, and now they are home and they're going to be virtually taught because we're not going to be able to start our test this day.
So, again, so they're home for 10 days, Dr. Cajun?
Yes, 10 days.
I was talking about staff, I'm sorry.
That's okay, Mark. That's fine.
I was talking about
Thank
staff.
You.
But that particular pre-K environment is one where there's a lot of partnering up, and again, they didn't get it from each other. Who knows if they have it yet? And Pete did allude to the fact that those students who are close contacts, we're not seeing them contact COVID either out there in the population. My goal is to keep children in school and be safe.
Yeah, I mean, I think on balance, we've done that. My experience is the same in employment. Part of my job at work is to monitor this stuff and see if, and report it. And all the transmission that I'm seeing, at least in the workplace, is not happening in the workplace. And I think that's what I'm hearing from you, Dr. Cajun. So I do understand the concern about close contact, but I don't think it's getting transferred in school. I think it's getting transferred at certain sporting events, after school events, some social events. At least that's what I saw from my kind of ad hoc experience with my own children. It's not from in school. Mm-hmm.
So knowing that, why would we set up the same type of learning environment that was restrictive that we did a year ago?
Well, you know, we're at a peak now to avoid over-testing and some of those things, maybe we go back to that. Just an idea, I mean, that's just my thought. So, but I appreciate what you're saying.
Thank you. Any, you want to add anything? Or?
No, I'm just a little bit. It's a little anecdotal, so I don't want to go overboard with citing anything. But I think, especially the older grades, overwhelmingly, the close contacts who were quarantined happened at an athletic event or outside of school. It's not, to your point, it's not happening in school where we have the protocol in place. We have a little less control with the really young kids, especially because they just don't have, obviously, the ability to follow mask rules.
So is test to stay on the agenda tonight?
So what's on the agenda is the contract with Nurse Plesha to administer the test to stay program.
Number 48.
Also on the agenda is a revision of the policy, the road back or the reopening policy to the road forward to broaden our leeway as things change, to Michael's point. What it was previously was very specific timelines, protocol that were in place. If you read through what the changes are now, it reads a little more nimbly. It's going to reflect what the DOH and CDC recommend at the time. And with eyes forward, you know, hopefully knock on wood, this gets better and better in the coming months, and we'll see restrictions ease at that level as well. So this, instead of coming every meeting and changing that policy, this more just gives us a
framework. That change still has to be officially made by the CDC or the Department of Health. That's what I was referring to. You will have more ability to be flexible from a school district standpoint by amending the policy, but the policy still is consistent with having to follow the dictates of those entities.
But ultimately, Michael, it's the NJ DOH. You know, we say CDC, but if they're not following CDC, we're not following CDC, right? So I just think that's important too, because parents think we're following CDC and they see a change, but we're really not, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We're following the New Jersey Department of Health. But the problem right now, or the good thing, depending on which side of the aisle you're standing on, the New Jersey Department of Health is pretty in step right now with the national CDC.
Anything else we have on that?
No, those are the couple items we wanted to bring to your attention before before we vote, unless so.
Oh, maybe put those on the floor.
Okay. Does anybody need anything separated out for the Manasquan Sandy District's items number 12 through 50?
12 through what?
50.
Yeah, I can't vote on 18, so I need that out.
Anybody else? Okay, is there a motion for numbers 12 through 17?
Yes.
Mrs. Bastone, Mr. Catani?
Who was the first motion on side?
Mrs. Bastone.
Mr. Alderman?
Yes.
Mrs. Bastone?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Catani?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes. No to 48, yes to all others, please, Sandy.
We're not on 48 yet.
Oh, we're only on 17?
12 to 17.
12 to 7.
Oh, sorry, guys. Yes.
Mrs. Pollock?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Mr. Vitale?
Yes.
Harry?
We have a motion for number 18. Mr. Tanney, Mr. Burns.
Mr. Alderman?
Yes.
Mrs. Bassone?
Abstain.
No. Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Tanney?
Yes.
Mr. Johnson?
Yes.
Mr. Loffredo?
Yes.
Mr. Mrs. Pollock?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Mr. Vitale?
Yes.
Gary?
Do we have a motion for items 19 through 50? Mr. Catani. Mr. Burns.
Mr. Alderman?
Yes.
Mrs. Bassone?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Johnson?
Yes.
Mr. Loffredo?
I'll stick with no on 48 and yes to all others, please, Sandy.
Mrs. Pollock?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Mr. Vitale?
Yes.
Carrie?
Does anyone have any old or new business? We have a motion to go into executive session. Mrs. Bassone, Mr. Burns.
Aye.
Aye.
I don't think any action will be taken. No. You can announce no action will be taken.
No action will be taken. We have a motion to reconvene. Mrs. Bassone, Mr. Loffredo.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Mrs. Bassone and Mr. Loffredo.
Thank you. Mr. Alderman?
Yes.
Mrs. Bassone?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Here.
Mr. Hovener? Mr. Johnson?
Yes.
Mr. Loffredo?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino? Mrs. Pollock?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Mr.
Vitale?
Yes.
Need a quorum?
We have a motion to adjourn. Mr. LaFredo? Mr. Catan?
All in favor?
Congrats again, officers.
Aye.
Aye, aye.
Happy New Year.
Good night, guys.
Thanks.
Happy New Year.
Thank you all for our reappointment.